this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen. Dreams do come true. And today I want to share with you a miracle in my life. My dear, dear and precious friend, and I'll tell you more about her after introducing her. I don't quite know how to do introductions. I just haven't gotten that one down, no matter what I've done. This is the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear, Joanna Cherry.
Hello, Iris.
Hello, Joanna. And Joanna is the founder of Ascension Mastery International. She has taught extensively around the world about immortality and rejuvenation and mastering every part of your life. And Joanna also has two wonderful books, Living Mastery and Self-Initiations, which I very much recommend. And, Joanna, I guess, first of all, tell people how we met.
Oh, that was a fun story. Well, there was a wonderful magazine that was out for 2-3 years back in the late 80s called Halo Magazine. And I had an article in that called Ascension. And
Full Mastery on Earth.
Yeah, Full Mastery on Earth. Iris remembers that better than I do. And Iris had was helping to distribute the magazine. They were sending her copies because she loved it so much, and she was distributing it in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And I called the editor of the magazine one day, and he said just out of the blue, you know, Iris Jackson lives not too far from you, and she has a radio show, and she might like you to be on it. So I gave her a call, and she had read the article and felt that I was saying things the way she said things, and that we were just instant friends from the first moment on.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
And I was so... so astounded, too, because I could hear your voice before I heard your voice outwardly. I could hear your voice when I read your article. And I felt that we had been working together on the inner for maybe eons, Joanna.
Probably so.
Now, your process, first of all, tell how you came to be doing this. Tell what Ascension is. What's your understanding of it?
Well, Ascension, it does include really becoming one with God in every way that we can, and regarding the body, it includes the ability to take the body up into a lighter dimension, into higher frequencies, increasing the frequency of the body, and stepping through into a lighter dimension and not leaving any form behind in death. So there's no death in the ascension process as I define it.
I like yours.
Yeah.
I like yours.
And a lot of people have done this. It's not like it's a, you know, it's a new thing.
It's not something we just dreamed up. And you know, what's so interesting to me now, of course this isn't for everybody, but it is for everybody eventually because it's a graduation from embodiment.
Well, it may not even be for everyone eventually. I mean, I think there are probably a lot of great masters who just chose to let the body do the old habits, follow the old subconscious commands to age and die, and just let that be okay, and are not probably not coming back to the physical plane. There's no rigidity about it. Some people will do it, and some people won't.
Well, for me, I want to have all of the Ascended Master abilities to serve.
Yeah, me too.
I want to have the ability to precipitate, levitate, operate outside of time and space, roller skate, walk on water,
yeah.
Heal the sick, raise the dead, and overcome every obstacle and limitation that we have laid on ourselves, including so-called death.
Yes, me too.
Talk about, you know what's so interesting to me is that so many of us have received these same promptings and are experiencing the information we have received has been so very similar. And then I've met so many people who, after I shared these things with them, told me they felt the very same things, but they thought they were the only one on the planet thinking that.
Right, right.
Kind of address that, would you?
Well, there's been so many thousands of years that we humans have forgotten who we were. We had forgotten that we were one with God and part of God and unlimited, and that our beliefs and our knowing are law. So that even our beliefs in aging and death have been law. They have been absolute. And so we thought that that's just the way it had to be. And these limited beliefs have, you know, expanded to include way more than 99% of humanity. So I guess it's been kind of natural for people to feel like they're on their own, or they're the only ones. They're the crazy ones or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But we're meeting each other. That's the happy thing. We're meeting each other more and more. It's like that network of light around the world that is spoken of. We're meeting, we're realizing that we're not the only ones, and it's becoming a greater and greater force for good to help all people release ourselves from limitations.
Well, you know what I've noticed too is all of us are bringing our gifts to the table.
Yeah.
And everyone we meet, we weave those gifts together to be of the greatest service we can be together.
Yeah.
And that's so exciting to me. That's like a billion times better than the best party I was ever at, the best vacation I ever had,
yeah.
Any of those things. It's a celebration like no other.
Yeah, and all of us who are consciously working on these things are really helping each other, because we all have a different part of the puzzle, a different piece, you know.
Yeah.
So we all help each other, and we all help all of the world. It is a wonderful and amazing process now. The whole world is really ascending, and humanity is ascending. By ascending, I mean the frequencies, the measurable frequencies are quickening, are speeding up. And it's something that's been predicted for thousands and thousands of years, and we're here in it now. It's an amazing time.
It is an amazing time. And, one of the ways I like to look at frequencies is it's just a different thing to tune into, just like you tune a radio, and there might be acid rock on this station, and just, you know, two numbers down on the dial, it's classical. And, you know, so I kind of look at the Ascended Masters octave that way, that we can put our attention on it and ask to be raised to that frequency.
Right, right, that's true. And it's also true that, you know, every one of us is on our own path, and we have our right timing and right way to do everything. And so for some people, they're tuning into one station, and that's the right one for them for the time being. And others are tuning into another station, and then the stations gradually quicken in frequencies, and we're drawn, you know, to ever higher frequencies. And that's a wonderful part of our ascension process that's happening, where it actually sort of is one with the ascension that's happening.
Well, I've also noticed that there are a lot of people on Earth who feel that they've come to be examples of rejuvenation and actually to age to a certain point and then undo that.
Yeah, that seems what you and I are about.
Yeah.
And your husband, Jerry, too.
Well, would you talk about that somewhere, you know, in your own process?
I came to believe in immortality and rejuvenation back about 1980. And with the help of Leonard Orr, who is a beautiful teacher of rebirthing and immortality and things, and I had known about it in other lifetimes, but I hadn't. This was the first I was re-remembering it in this lifetime. And so in 82, I began my own process, and I was just born in 1940, so I was already in my early 40s. For a couple months, it was really working. And people would tell me, "You are youthing. You are getting younger. I can see it. I can feel it." And I felt it. And then all of a sudden, I hit this wall. It was like a very dense fog that I could not see through. I could not go around. I couldn't see what it was.
I didn't want to see what it was.
Yeah. Well, I did want to see what it was because it was stopping me, and I already had a good connection with spirit. And so I would ask the questions, and I simply would not get any answer, which was practically unheard of for me. And it took me about 7 years until I was actually speaking at my first really kind of world congress type thing, and I was scared because I had, you know, other lives, like many of us who have been spiritual teachers in the past. I had been maimed and killed and burned at the stake and whatnot, you know.
Publicly humiliated.
So public, you know.
Yes.
But I did it anyway, and that somehow that courage that came forth allowed me to go through this wall. And in the wall, I saw that I had a huge fear of death that had never been resolved from one particular other life in which I had been actually a pirate. I had killed a whole lot of people through sword fighting, and when I died, when my body died in that life, a lot of them were waiting for me, and so I had a horrible, scary experience after death, and so that fear having been unresolved, it's like the subconscious mind, as long as you're not conscious of your fears, they run you. And so my own subconscious could only allow a very short time of rejuvenation, and then it said, nope, you're afraid of death. That means you cannot rejuvenate. You have to face this fear. You have a charge on death, so that's where you're headed. So you can't rejuvenate. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I kind of got that, and so that helped a great deal. It released doors for me, and close to that same time, I had an experience up on Mount Shasta where spirit showed me that I could talk to the pituitary gland, because I had learned that the pituitary kind of begins to shrink after puberty and begins the dying or aging process right at that time. But I had never done anything about that or been guided to do anything with that. But suddenly I was shown to just tune into the pituitary, to thank it, to love it, to bless it for obeying my own mental deep commands to age, for the body to age. And that now I had remembered who I am. I am a divine, unlimited being, and I asked it to stop creating the death hormone, which it was doing, and to begin creating a life hormone. And I felt that the top of my head just flipped off. I was up on the mountain. I was working with another person, and it just felt like my head just flipped open, and this light just poured down. It was an amazing and remarkable process for me, and I soon learned to include the other glands of the endocrine system in that as well, which are the pineal, the thyroid, the thymus, the adrenals, the pancreas, the sexual organs, and I think I left one out. Anyway, all of those glands in the endocrine system, and and to include them in the life hormone process. And that was a great uplifting. And then it was still, though, 9 years after that, in 98, that spirit came to me very quietly one day in a meditation and said, "Your body has now reached a non-dying state." And I said, "Well, what does that mean? And Spirit said, "Well, you're still have some things to overcome before you will allow rejuvenation, but your body is not going to be heading for death anymore." And I got confirmation with that, and the next year my energy rose quite a bit, and then it leveled off, and then it stayed the same. It's not. I can feel the truth of that statement from Spirit, and so, and it's been interesting to look at the things, look at the reasons why I have not yet allowed full rejuvenation to take place, and they seem to have to do with deservedness. You know, do I really deserve to have this? Am I safe to look so much younger than other people that are my chronological age? And can it really be done? You know, there's still been some ancient kind of hang-ups, but they feel very close now to becoming totally resolved. And I did get one other confirmation too about a using taking place. I hosted a high Tibetan lama. He was from Tibet, but he was living in the States, of course, now. And he came here to speak and give sessions to people, and he offered me one free. As I was his host, I wasn't even going to get one, but I said, "Shoot, you know, it's a beautiful high being." And so he gave me a session, and they work with the pulse. It's a very fine art, a very accurate, amazing art that's been developed over thousands of years. And he said to me just spontaneously in the session, he said, "You have the pulse of a 35-year-old. And at that time, I was 65 in my chronological age. So that was a good confirmation for me as well.
Oh. Well, you know, I'd like you to address something that you had to deal with when you met Leonard Orr, and he was talking about physical immortality. Tell what your reaction was to him. You know, just because a lot of people are hearing this for the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sound like a couple wackos.
Yeah, we do.
But then what else is new? So kind of share what your process was when you met Leonard.
Well, I first met him when he had this house in San Francisco where I was living at that time in the East Bay, and called Theta House, I think. And there was a big attic room that was open and had all kind of cushions and decorations and stuff. And he used that to give classes or talks. And so he was giving a talk one night, and I was guided to go with my boyfriend. And so Leonard walks in, and he starts late, you know, which he usually was. And he starts talking about immortality, physical immortality, as he calls it. And I thought to myself, what a dingbat. Everybody knows that the body has to age and die. I mean, where is he coming from? And it was, maybe a couple months, few months later, I wasn't even in meditation. Spirit just came in and said to me, "This information is accurate. This is true. It's real. It is a possibility for humans." And I went, "What?" Okay. So that kind of began my mental awareness of it, and you've heard some of the other adventures that have happened.
Yeah. Well, so I guess I want to say at this point is the body aging and dying has just been an agreed upon reality.
Right.
And we are divine creators. We are all divine creators. And if we agree together to limit ourselves, that is the way it is.
That's right.
But I don't choose to limit myself. Mm-hmm. And I think I know there's this part of me that just knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that what God intended is for everything that God created to be in ever-increasing perfection.
Yes.
And including physical bodies. And I think that death God created because people just got so tired with collecting all kinds of negative things that they had to take a little vacation and lay the body down. You know, sort of like people go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Because it gives them a rest from judging.
Right.
What do you say about that?
I think there's a lot of accuracy to that. I think that humanity began to believe in the physicality of things more than it believed in God or the divine or, you know, the ineffable essence, whatever we want to call it. It doesn't have to have a name, the Tao, but which is the reality. This invisible realm is the reality of life. And physicality is a sort of a small, it's sort of like with a floating, a hot air balloon, the great reality is the huge part, the balloon on the top, and then the physicality is this little basket that's carried along by the top. We forgot that it was our own creative power that was able to make our lives, and we began to grovel and go into poverty and war and disease, and so life was hard. Yeah, and including for wealthy people, you know, life is hard because it's when you base things on physicality and you believe in death and believe that there's nothing after death, it's kind of a scary life. So I agree with you that we've needed a rest between lives. And it's also true, I think, that great masters who have laid their bodies down have just kind of wanted to do it that way because they wanted love to be the foremost thing. I've talked with a couple of masters on the inner, Sai Baba and Yogananda in particular, and asked them why they let their bodies die when they didn't have to. And they both said that it would have been too sensational a thing to happen at that time, and people would have just dwelled on that. Whereas what the real important thing was love. And love is spirit. Love is God. And so when we have had physical lives that have been devoid of that or largely lacking in that sense, not only, I mean, we've loved family members and things, but we haven't very much felt the huge unconditional love of the universe for us and our own huge and unconditional love for all that is, for all people, not just the ones we know, but and for all animals and plants and for the planet, for everything, because we are all a great oneness. And so when we've been out of this and kind of wedded to the belief in that the physicality, physical life, the touch and the seeable, the feelable is the only thing that's real. It's been a real hard way to go.
And it's been backwards.
Yeah, definitely. Backwards. Well, what we should do when we find ourselves in a hard situation or in just in a situation where we're not believing in the true reality of life is to start to tune into that, to call our, just to sit down in a quiet place and call the God of ourselves, our own I Am presence, our own Buddhic presence or Tao or Christ or whatever we want to call it. We call that in. We say, I want a change in life here. I want my life to be based in reality, and if we find ourselves in a difficult situation, like if the body is ill, even terminally ill, show me what has caused this, what in me, what mind and emotional things have gone on that have caused this illness for me, and how do I clear it out? And
you will be shown.
Yeah, and how do I stop the aging, and or how do I heal this relationship? It doesn't matter where we are. How do I heal my finances? How do I get a job that's joyful and right for me and wonderful for me? How do I change my relationship with my husband or my mother or my father, my children, my child? Spirit helps with everything on whatever level we are. It shows us the solutions. It gives us the love and the upliftment that allows solutions to come forth. And there's really no such thing as terminal illness. It's just that we have believed there was. In fact, there's a great report. I saw this on television, a documentary. This woman who had cancer in, I think, in her lungs or her chest area, and it was called terminal. The hospital told her to go home and they prepare for her death. But instead, she began to envision that, the Pac-Man video game. She began to envision the little Pac-Man guys eating up the disease, and she would go into her room like three times a day and see this disease, the cancer, being gobbled up. And she went back a few months later to the hospital, and the tumor was the same. It was a tumor, but it hadn't reduced either. But they were amazed that it hadn't grown and hadn't, killed her off by that time. So she realized what she was doing was working. She went back home. She did it five times a day instead of three times a day with the Pac-Man thing. And she went back to the hospital a few months later, and the tumor was gone.
Uh-huh.
And so the hospital, one of the doctors came on and said, "We have decided to never use the word terminal again. We will never tell people that their illness is terminal again because of this event."
Well, thank God, because that's sort of like, in this culture, that's sort of like that culture where the witch doctor points a bone at somebody and they die.
Right.
Because they believe that.
Exactly.
Because they're given power.
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was finished.
I was going to ask you, is there a tool that you would like to give people that they could use over and over, not only today, but that they could tune in later to the archives and use?
Well, I think the most important thing in life for each and every one of us is to be able to tune into spirit. And you can call that meditation or prayer or whatever you wish, but you go into a place, hopefully, where you can be quiet and undisturbed, and it's like you look up within yourself. You can call it looking up into the crown chakra, the top of the head area, or the third eye. And you call upon your love, your higher being. And you be there with it. You can just sit there with it. And then if you feel able to ask a question, you ask your question, and the answer can come in any number of ways. You can hear words within your own mind. You can get it through writing. You can sit down and ask your God self to write the answers down. You may not get it that time at all. It may come through a bird or through someone else saying something to you in passing. Spirit has infinite ways of giving us answers that we need to our questions. Or sometimes it's not even a question that we've asked, but Spirit will give us a new direction or something we need to know just through life around us if we listen, if we keep our ears open. And our hearts open. But the main thing, there's a lot of people now that are in this process of tuning into spirit, but there's not been enough discrimination about what is a real message from spirit and what is not. And the main way you can tell is that when you are receiving a message, if you're getting it directly, that there is love. It is surrounded by and steeped in love. And that there is absolutely no judgment of yourself or of any other person or of any part of life. And it is devoid of shoulds. You know, the moralistic shoulds. You should do this because your parents want you to, or because this is the way society is. Spirit does not give answers like that. It says, what is in your heart? What brings you joy? What lifts you up? That is your path. That is your path.
And also, you can, if you get an answer and you're not sure, if it's from your I Am Presence, from your God Self, you can just, or from your divine guides of greatest light,
yeah,
and always ask for ascended master information and above.
Yeah, and another thing that's closely associated with what you're saying, so I'm really glad you, excuse me, that you brought that up, is that any master that we love, any master we love, Jesus, Buddha, Mary, Muhammad, Saint Germain, you know, any of the beautiful masters or angels or archangels that we love or feel drawn to, or any of the Eastern masters, you know, Amar Baba, Sai Baba, Ramana Maharshi, Ramakrishna, any of them that we feel drawn to, we can also call them into us. We can say, would you please be here with me? I love you, and I would like your help. And they come immediately. Immediately they are present. And any time that we wish, they are present. And so they are just, they love to be of service. They just love it. They love to be called upon to assist. And they do it. You know, it's like someone said once, and I it's true, that if we reach up one-tenth of the way, God will reach the other nine-tenths.
We have to reach, though. We have to ask for help.
Yeah.
That is a cosmic law. We must ask.
Yes.
But I was going to say, if you're not sure if it's from your mind or from your I Am Presence and from the Ascended Masters, is to say, is this from my guides of greatest light? And if it's not, it will go away. And if it is, you'll get a definite yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah. So, did you want to give a tool for getting more in touch with that, or was that...
I think that's... well, there are a couple of other things that can go along with just kind of reaching up within yourself to love or to a master, or you can also say to my guides, you know. And that is, you can ask for a signal to come through your body. You can say, beloved spirit or whoever you're talking to, please give me a signal by which I can know that this is real. And the signal can be anything. It can be like a thrill up the spine. That's a fairly common one for people. Or your head might turn. Or you might get a smile. Or you might smell a fragrance of roses. Or your breath could change. Or you could see a vision or a beautiful color. It can come in any way that works for you, that spirit can see can work for you. And you can also ask for an inner name, a name from a higher aspect of yourself, and receive that. So those are two kind of extra things you can do. But the main tool is just to reach up with a sincere heart. That's all it requires. Reach up with a sincere heart, a love of God or spirit or your higher self, and just tune in with that and ask questions to that if you have any.
That's so important.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the masters, would you share about your master picture?
Master pictures, did you say?
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. I have a... I've been very, very fond of and close to the beautiful immortal master Babaji, who is written about in autobiography as a yogi, of a yogi who is the guru of Lahiri Mahasaya in the book. And his is about 5,000 years old, and in about 76, I suddenly made reacquaintance with him in a very dramatic way. He's appeared to me physically a number of times. And then this wonderful artist named Erica Stepp has painted a beautiful picture of Babaji that I love so much. It's just, I love pictures where you can look into the eyes of a master and see the wisdom there, and it's your own wisdom, really, your own deep wisdom reflected back to you, your own mastery, your own divinity reflected back to you. And so I started with just that one picture. I do workshops, I take that one picture, and just because I wanted other people to be able to benefit from it too if they wanted to. And then that gradually expanded to a few more pictures, and then Spirit sent me to India and showed me that I was doing workshops because I was defining myself as a workshop leader rather than listening to what my own next step was. And so maybe for 5 years I'd been actually kind of bored doing workshops, and I was shocked that I had just hidden that from myself on a real conscious level. And so I just gave everything to God, everything. And I said, please take everything that doesn't belong to me now. And so for a few days I did that until I felt really clear. No, just really clear. And then I said, well, how am I going to make a living? And so Spirit showed me. I'd had the pictures at our big WESAC celebrations. I'd had a booth for ever since it began in 95 in Mount Shasta. And it had just done very, very well. And the pictures had. And Spirit said, please expand these pictures. Get a good collection going and get them out into the world as widely as you can, because awakening humanity needs these now. And so I said, all right, I will do that. And as soon as I got back home, I immediately began to look for other pictures that I loved and made a small catalog, and that worked for a couple of years, and then I developed over 50 pictures. And then a friend of mine had also a similar business, which I really didn't know much about because he was in Sedona. And he had developed the same number of pictures, but his emphasis was on the Hindu and the Tibetan Buddhist ones. And we only had three pictures, which were the same. And he had gotten tired of his business, and through a miracle of finances, because I didn't have the money to buy him out, through a miracle of finances, I was able to receive his business. And then it just, and he had developed a wholesale business where I was, you know, I've never considered myself a business person. I was just doing like personal orders, you know, except when sometimes the store would find out about him and would place an order. But he was already in the wholesale arena, and so it just went out like gangbusters, and it's doing great ever since. And the pictures are pictures that I personally resonate with. We have the Christian, we have a bunch of Jesuses and Marys, we have ascended masters, wonderful Saint Germain, Serapis Bay, El Morya, Kutumi, Dwalku, a whole bunch of ascended masters. We have Eastern masters, we have a Sufi master, we have the Hindu deities, we have Tibetan Buddhist masters and deities. And so it's a wonderful, eclectic collection now of just beautiful divine pictures,
yes,
which are available for anybody to purchase if desired.
Yes, they are. And how can people reach you, Jill?
The website is sacredimages.com. Sacredimages AMI.com. That's Sacred, S-A-C-R-E-D, Images, dash, AMI.com. And also there's a link there to my work, to my books and tapes, CDs, and articles are on my site. So, but that'll get you there. And the pictures are laminated or sleeved, and so they're really durable, and I think people will love them.
I sure love them. I have them all over my house.
Yeah, me too.
I know. Joanna, would you share about the Violet Flame and call the Violet Flame? Because I feel like it's one of the very most important tools for removing, limiting, and undesirable creation that we have in our lives.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, although I always think you know more about it than I do. But the Violet Flame is a beautiful cleansing energy which was brought forth, I believe, originally by Archangel Zadkiel, one of the seven archangels, and Saint Germain, a beautiful ascended master who's been helping with Earth for, I think, at least 150,000 years, is also a great proponent now of the Violet Flame and kind of embodies that energy. It's a way to forgive, to release the darker energies or the past, the unresolved things that have not healed, any angers or fears or doubts we have in the present. We call upon the Violet Flame, we call upon Saint Germain, or Archangel Zadkiel, and just we start to just feel it. We call it, and we feel it coming through our physical body, our emotions, our mental body, and we release the spirit everything we can, whether we're conscious of it or not conscious of it. We just release it all that doesn't serve us, and it goes. Spirit takes it from us unless we're unconsciously holding on to it and not allowing it to go. But if we truly are releasing it to spirit, then it dissolves. Or sometimes things dissolve a bit at a time, you know, whatever we're able to release on a particular day. So, Iris and I, most every day, since we're really best friends as well as on this show together with you, we call the Violet Flame for the world. And so I would like to call it for the world the way I do, and then for us individually, all of us who are listening and for us who are here speaking.
And I'd also like to say this is something to be used daily and in partnership with other people and for ourselves individually as well as the planet. On a daily basis, we can make everything better on the planet.
That's true.
So I really encourage people to learn of the Violet Flame. You can tune into the archives. You can use this now and then tune into the archives and
by the archives, you mean the radio shows that have already been done?
Yes, like this will be on the archives,
right.
So you can tune in later. And if you don't know how to call the Violet Flame yourself, and hear Joanna call it again,
or hear Iris call it, or you've had many of your guests do that, right?
Yes, I have. Everyone that knows about the Violet Flame, I have them call it in their way.
Yeah.
So. And it will change as you use it. It will teach you of itself. So it is a most powerful tool. And I would just like to invite everyone that's listening to put on the altar everything that no longer serves you and everything that you want transformed in your life.
Yes.
And to visualize this, as Joanna calls it, for it to see it coming up from the center of the earth, up through your body, out through the top of your head, and see yourself in a cylinder about arm's length distance in every direction with this just blazing through you in wave after wave.
Yeah, and when I do it, I'll actually like to, I think Iris was mentioning this, but I like to sweep up with my hands from my root chakra, which is at the base of the spine, all the way up the body on an in-breath, and then blow it out from the top of the head. It just helps me a lot to get the feeling of release. And so if you're holding any resentments, if there's anything you haven't forgiven, that belongs in the violet flame. Any fears, any illness, any doubts, anything like that, any lack in your finances or in your love life or your relationships, just you can give it all up into the flame to be dissolved, or to be dissolved as much as can be, as much as you are ready for it to be in this time. So, ready?
Sure.
In the name and by the power and authority of I am that I am, of Joanna, of Iris, and of all people who are doing this with us, we call forth the violet flame of beloved Saint Germain and Archangel Zadkiel to come from the center of the earth now to blaze forth in mightiest victory, power, and glory, to come through every iota within, upon, and above the earth, to the ends of the atmosphere, all over the world, right now. And this beautiful flame is purifying and loving and forgiving and uplifting and healing and blessing and dissolving all that no longer serves from every member, wherever it can be, of the human kingdom, the animal kingdom, the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the Davic kingdom, the elf kingdom, the dwarf kingdom, the reptilian kingdom, and all other kingdoms here. It is coming through all of earth, air, fire, and water, which are being transformed into sparkling purity, clarity, joy, and light all over the world right now. It is dissolving all, or healing, or stopping all ego constructions as soon as may be. And it is blessing everything. In every area of conflict in the world, there is a great spinning counterclockwise vortex which is drawing up all that no longer serves, all of the darkness that is no longer serving those areas, and the masters who are working with that area and the I Am presences of the people there are dissolving all of this into divine light and divine love. And all over the world, everything that has been released is now replaced with the silver and gold ray energies of peace and love and harmony and enlightenment and mastery and immortality and health and beauty and well-being and oneness with God and oneness with all that is, and creativity, and doing only what is loved to do, and abundance of every kind of good, and all true heart desires fulfilled, which are good for the self and for all of life. And we give great thanks for this now, and for each of us individually, we now give to the violet flame everything that does not serve us. Sweep up the chakras, sweep up the body with the hand, and blow out all that is being released, and really feel it. See the violet flame, as Iris said, like in an arm's length cylinder around the entire body, just blazing through everything. The physical body, the emotions and feelings, the mind, the thoughts, the beliefs, any difficult situations, relationships, etc., just totally blazing through right now, and we are releasing all that does not serve us. So feel it, see it, welcome it, be it. Good. And as Iris says, to do this every day if that feels right for you. And we give great thanks for this flame and for its activity, and so be it.
And so it is, invincibly expanding and eternally sustained until all life on Earth is enveloped in a violet plane vortex and we send out only good and happiness from this planet to all life everywhere.
Yes.
So it is.
So it is.
Joanna, thank you so much again for being with us and giving your gifts to the world. And
my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you are so welcome. And would you say again how people can reach you?
Okay, yeah. It's www.sacredimages-ami.com, or my own website is ascensionmastery.com. That's ASCENSION mastery.com. Also, I have two books, Living Mastery and Self-Initiations, which can both be ordered from us. I think you can get them from Amazon as well, but it's probably easiest just to order them from the office. That's good.
Thank you, and thank you who are listening for being with us.
Yeah, and let me give you the email address, too, if that might help. AMI@JPS, S as in Sam, .com. AMI@JPS.com.
And I just wanted to say Joanna also does wonderful, wonderful illumining sessions.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, that's because God runs them.
Yes, I know.
In fact, the inner self of the person who is doing the session that I'm doing the session with guides the session through both of us, not just me.
Yes. Well, thank you so much again, Joanna. Next Monday at 2 o'clock, we will have Sharon Callahan, internationally acclaimed animal communicator. And so we'll talk to you again on Monday. Until then, happy trails to you. Until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again. I love you, and this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Our men, our women, our children, and you.